Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Indianapolis, Indiana, welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 209. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, I'm doing just fine, man. Episode 209, dude, I can't believe it, man. It's just flying by, man. But, you know what I'm saying, as I kind of, you know what I'm saying, can't believe that we're at episode 209. Brandon, I know you're going to give us a rundown, but, like, dude, did we not have a pretty, I ain't going to say stupendous, but I think we had a pretty good weekend of sports this weekend, man. So, please, give us the rundown.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got the NFL draft recap. We're going to be talking some NFL draft first round picks, Colts ended up picks, the Steelers picks. We'll talk that NFL news and notes as well, kind of where the odds have shifted now in the sports as you kind of look ahead into the NFL season. It's actually just three, 4 months away from us already. NBA playoffs are hot and heavy. We're in the second round of all the series, all four series. The last two get started this evening. We've got NHL playoffs that are starting tonight, so they're getting pumped up, get themselves going. The month of May is upon us, and here in the Circle City, the month of May brings a lot of things with the Indianapolis 500. So the Indianapolis 500 later this month, all the festivities are starting this weekend. Probably sneaky, scary good, one of my favorite weekends in all of sports, just with everything going on. You have some really, really great boxing matches this weekend. The UFC fights, the heavy card in the UFC. You've got the NBA playoffs, you got the NHL playoffs, you got Major League Baseball, and then you got the Kentucky Derby. So a huge, huge, huge weekend of sports look coming up, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. But until then, John, let's dive right into the NFL draft, the recap show, NFL draft. My goodness, the first round Thursday night after we got off the air with the draft starting on our show. First round did not disappoint. The first three picks, Trayvon Walker, defensive end, Georgia, going to the Jaguars, which a lot of people didn't even have him in the top 14 of their boards.
Right.
So that was interesting to see. But then, just the first three, and then Aiden Hutchinson going to Detroit, and then Stingley going number three as well. I forget what team he went to at number three. But anyways, those were the top three picks in the draft. A lot of trades, John. A couple of huge trades throughout that first round. A.J. Brown going to the Eagles. Hollywood Brown, the Brown and Brown show. Hollywood Brown getting traded to the Cardinals for a first-round pick. I feel like the Ravens made a ransom out of that. In fact, Hollywood Brown, I think we knew about – they knew about this probably about – and it's weird because Lamar Jackson didn't know about this, and he was tweeting that he was pissed because
well.
The Hollywood Brown was at the Cardinals draft party.
hilarious. Brandon, it's funny that, you know what I'm saying, now that's the kind of level of sports that we're in where the players on the field kind of have to know what's going on with the draft and the formation of the team. You called out the Lamar Jackson tweets. He was like he was talking about WTF or whatever when the trade went down. But by the end of the night, or by the end of the total draft, you know what I'm saying, he had kind of seen what the total plan was, because if you honestly, the Ravens probably had one of the better drafts. Then if you're putting grades on anything, right, still you got to see everybody's got to see what they have on the field. But as far as like plugging holes and answering questions that they had going into, you know what I'm saying, coming from last season, the Ravens, you know what I'm saying, probably hit it out of the park. I would give them top – I mean, again, if we're grading, I'd probably give them top five grade. of this particular draft. But like, nah, man, you know, Aaron Rodgers also, you know, say kind of chimed in, assistant general manager Aaron Rodgers kind of chimed in and gave his opinion on the draft, because I think that, I do believe they drafted a wideout for the first time in a long time in the first round. So I kind of chuckle at it. Be honest with you about, you know what I'm saying, I get it, you know what I'm saying, guys want to be actively involved in the decision making and who they're playing with or who they're not playing with. But ultimately, sometimes I think the players forget that wideouts, running back, everybody's looking for a bigger check, a bigger payday, and sometimes teams can't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, appease everybody, especially somebody like Lamar, who's looking for a $200 million contract. If they pay Lamar, and again, that's still somewhat in negotiation, right? If they pay Lamar up to $200 million, through the course of like 6 or 7 years, for the next 6 or 7 years, then there's going to be some losses, and like Brown was in a trade where, you know what I'm saying, the franchise can't shoulder that type of financial burden. So, a lot of trades, you know what I'm saying, that happened in the first round. A lot of, like I would say, trades that nobody saw coming.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the A.J. Brown one, the fact he was introduced today and he didn't really want to talk about the trade. He was open to staying with the Tennessee Titans, and then Tennessee goes out and basically just drafts his prototype in that position now to take his spot, which is smart if you think about it, because you use a guy for 2, 3 years, 4 years on the rookie deal, and then before you have to pay him, you ship him out, and you just go and get their replacement. It's smart. I was actually thinking about this the other day. Somebody else did the same exact thing recently, and it worked out for him. I can't think what team it was. I was seeing him. Yeah, it's just, you keep yourself from having to pay a big, huge salary of a wide receiver at odds of the road that passed, it's not panned out very well. So we've got that going. And we've got, looking at the Indianapolis Colts, John, we talked about where would the Colts go. They didn't really have a first-round pick. They had a second-round pick, which then they traded back for. They end up getting Alex Pierce from Cincinnati, wide receiver. It's not a sexy pick. I kind of put it on Twitter. I was like, oh, so we've got Austin Colley / Griff Whalen 2.0, 3.0.
Why does it got to be Austin Colley?
I mean, Griff Whalen, Austin Colley, you name it, 3.0 in here coming in a second-round pick. Also, they got Jelani Woods, tight end out of Virginia. Then they also got an offensive tackle, a safety, a D tackle, another tight end, a defensive tackle, and then they finished up with a safety. John, dive in. I know you've been waiting, chomping at the bit. Colts draft, your thoughts on it all, and then the grade you would give.
Well, again, I know I shouldn't have been, but I was kind of shocked that they actually traded back. I thought they'd use that pick right there. But again, you know, Chris Ballard saw value in the pick being split, so he trades back, gets a couple more picks, right, and try to fill out the roster. The Colts needed a tight end. The Colts needed offensive line, a tackle line play. What's his guy named? Bernard Raymond, I think that's his name. Again, man, it's going to be a work in progress. I wouldn't be shocked if because he hasn't played left tackle all his life. Right, all his collegiate life anyway, but he has played. They have moved him around, you know what I'm saying, and that's what the Colts kind of like, you know what I'm saying. They like a switchblade type of, you know what I'm saying, not switchblade, but a Swiss Army knife type of guy that they can move around, and I'm sure, you know what I'm saying, they'll coach him up. I wouldn't be surprised though if the Colts still try to go see what's available in free agency with some of the free agent money that they still have left out to give. Jelani Woods, you know, the tight end for Virginia, he answered. He feels a need, and then the Andrew Ogletree, who's also somewhat of a Swiss Army knife guy, who was used as a receiver and in tight end in college. Again, man, you know what I'm saying, if we had to grade it, we'd probably give it A minus, B plus. If you still got to see what it's going to look like on the field, you know. I like all the picks today. Again, you know what I'm saying, Chris Ballard, You know what I'm saying? Would you rather have those guys be all first rounders, right? You know what I'm saying? Those names. And that gives a certain level of comfortability with the fan base, knowing that a guy came from Georgia or Alabama or some other big name school. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, hey, you know, Cincinnati, I kind of chimed about it on Twitter myself, man. Cincinnati had a lot of guys go either in the first or second round or in the third round, just because of the strength of their team the last two seasons and the players on those teams. You know what I'm saying? That's the people, I mean, you know, some general managers want that. They want that kind of production. You know what I'm saying? So I like a lot of the picks. You know what I'm saying? The Colts did need to get better at safety. They picked that up in Rodney Thomas. You know what I'm saying? It all remains to be seen what happens once the ball snaps, you know what I'm saying, in October. You know what I mean?
Trivia question.
Late September, yeah.
Trivia question for you. What college team had the most draft picks and set the record this year?
I think it was Georgia.
You're correct. Georgia Bulldogs.
Which would make sense, man, because, again, you know what I'm saying, You have from a defense, like, not just this past year. We know they were the number one defense, right, in the nation this past year. But even going back to last year, there was no slackers on that. They just had a, you know, an underperforming team overall effort. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't shocked at all. I don't think, not to you know what I'm saying, poke the bear at our fan base down there in Texas. I don't think the Texas Longhorns had anybody.
They had zero.
Yeah, man. I didn't think
horns down.
That's wild, man. So it's not like they're winning. They're not trying to win games down there in Lubbock, right? I'm sorry, not Lubbock, but they're trying to win down games down there in Texas based upon how many draft picks they get. But you know, for bragging rights, you know what I'm saying, who went where and then what did they do impact wise and on the next level? And Texas didn't have anybody, so. Sorry, Texas. Sorry, all the UT fans and all the UT folks are listening on, man. You know, maybe next year.
Texas had zero draft picks. And they're going to the SEC. Just going to put that out there.
Oh, wow. Rub it in.
Looking else around the league, John. Pittsburgh Steelers. My Steelers, I've been talking, quarterback ever since the Big Ben era was going to be ending. And they went out first round, drafted Kenny Pickett, local product out of Pitt. I kind of talked a little about Pickett. I talked about Malik Willis, the two guys they were looking at. They decided to go with Pickett, more NFL-ready quarterback, better proven stats. Pickett can run. He's a mobile guy. He's already familiar with the city. He's familiar with facilities and the fan base. So, you got to think it's an easy put in. He will compete. Tomlin said he will compete for the starting job, obviously with Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph there. So they went and got Kenny Pickett. And then they came back in the second round and said, well, if we got a quarterback that can throw an arm, we need to get another wide receiver. You just lost Juju Smith-Schuster to free agency. They went out and got George Pickens, wide receiver from Georgia. I love that pick as well. Pickens in there. The Steelers always draft wide receiver, good, great wide receivers. So, Kevin Colbert's last draft, he got emotional after talking to me. He was there for 22 years since 2000. So, the guy knows how to draft. Got Kenny Pickens, George Pickens there. We got Pickett, Pickens, you name it, with the picks. And then LaMarvin Leal, defensive end from, I believe it was Texas A&M, huge pickup for that defensive end position, especially the fact that they are not picking up the option on Devin Bush. Devin Bush has digressed since his injury a couple years ago with Pittsburgh. He played like crap last year, didn't do anything. So no shock there. They didn't pick up his thing. But Kenny Pickett and George Pickens, two new Steelers, John.
You got to like it from the Pittsburgh Steelers mindset. I don't see Kenny Pickett playing. I think it'll be close as far as competition, right? But I don't see him playing to if our guy, you know what I'm saying, he got free agent totally, you know what I'm saying, craps the bed by week six, week seven, and the Steelers are behind a sub 500 record or something like that, you know what I mean, then there might be a switch. You know, I don't really put a whole lot of stock into him having small hands either. You know what I'm saying? He played pretty competitive. I would say pretty competitive. ACC, I don't care what nobody says. You know what I'm saying? ACC schedule. I know they lost to a MAC. It's weird. Pitt this past year lost to a MAC school. I can't remember the MAC school they lost to. But then they pretty much, you know what I'm saying, bounced back, you know what I'm saying, throughout the whole season. But, you know, as far as, like, playoff, you know what I'm saying, playoff, ACC, you know what I'm saying, as far as playoff being in a playoff contention standpoint, once you lose, once you have one or a bad loss like that, you know what I'm saying, the folks, you know what I'm saying, the powers that be don't put you back in the top 25, right? But it wasn't necessarily due to his particular play, right? So I think this is definitely a draft pick for the future, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? This is something that they were, you know what I'm saying, the Steelers are great at getting grooming guys, getting them ready, you know what I'm saying, within the next 2-3 seasons. And, like, this is, you know, if this is who would be the – okay, I can't necessarily say face of the franchise just yet. You got to see what you got on the field first, right? But this is definitely the guy that they foresee them, you know what I'm saying, leading them into the next era of Pittsburgh Steelers football. Trubisky, we know he's just kind of a bridge quarterback. He knows it, you know what I mean? And I'm sure he'll play well. He'll do his due diligence to play well because he still has a lot of left to prove him. You know what I'm saying? A lot of doubt that was left out between, you know what I'm saying, on his way out between in Chicago. But we know his ceiling, you know what I'm saying? The people, you know what I'm saying, the folks, there's a lot of tape on him. People, you know what I'm saying, the league kind of knows his ceiling on what he can and can't do. It'll be on, you know what I'm saying, that Pittsburgh Steelers staff to see what they have kind of going forward. And, you know what I'm saying, we know Pittsburgh still be remain competitive and, you know what I'm saying, be right there at the end. So if they get quarterback, hey, Brandon, if they get, you know what I'm saying, decent quarterback play out of either one of them, you'll see the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the playoffs.
Yeah, they got a great defense. Great defense still there. So yet again, offense. The offense is just young as can be. You've got Pickett, or even Pickett or Trubisky, take your pick. Pickens on the wideout, Deontay Johnson on the wideout, Pat Freiermuth tight end, Najee Harris in the backfield. My God, that's such a young team there. It'd be interesting to see what they do. Going in, I kind of looked at their win total for Vegas where they had the Pittsburgh Steelers win total. Over-under for Steelers win total next year is 7.5. So typically, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season in Pittsburgh, and either has been Roethlisberger, but Ben's gone, so Mike's there now, first year without Big Ben. 7.5 wins, you're playing you'd be at least 9 wins to be over the 500s with that extra game. I could see over 7.5 wins. I could give the Steelers 8 and go an 8-9 this year. I could see it. So I might actually put on that and take that 7.5.
Feels like lowballing just a little bit, but
yeah. Looking at the Colts, John, obviously, you know, with us being here in Indianapolis, I want to look at the Colts. They have the Colts right now over under wins at 9.5. I was looking at the Colts ones as well. They have the Colts at over 9.5 wins, over under 9.5.
It's gonna be rough. It's gonna be tough, man. Tennessee ain't going. It's gonna be rough. It's gonna be tough.
Uh oh, I think I lost John again. Yeah. I lost you, John.
I'm still here.
Okay. So I was looking at the AFC South standings. Before the draft, the Tennessee Titans were the favorites to win at -115. Now it looks like the Indianapolis Colts have moved to the favorites for the AFC South after the draft and after the A.J. Brown trade. Colts are now +105 favorites to win the AFC South going into next season. So... More to come on that.
Definitely more to come on that, man, because we must remember, man, I know we haven't given out, like, our particular opinions about everybody's draft grades, but Texas will probably still be last. And I, like I said before on a show prior to this one, I think Jacksonville is going to be a little bit more competitive, a lot more competitive than they were last year. So,
yeah.
You know.
David Bell, Purdue Boilermaker, got drafted by the Browns. So he's going to go out there with Deshaun Watson if Watson plays or not. No Odell Beckham Jr., no Jarvis Landry. Insert David Bell there. We'll see how he does. He's kind of coming off a little bit of injuries there at Purdue. But David Bell to the Brownies.
Good pickup for the Browns. Good pickup for Kansas City. There was people saying that he didn't like I think he was one of the – well, I think Horvat thought he was going to go higher,
yeah.
Right? And I know I jacked up his name. I thought he was going to go higher. But, like, it can't be a shame to be playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. And they have a need. You know what I'm saying? They need to rebuild their defensive, like, makeup. So, I said Horvat. Horvat's the running back. Shame on me. I got the wrong guy wrong. Shame on me.
I think Horvath went to Chicago, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He did. But, yeah, I think Kolasinac, you know what I'm saying, again, he'll get a plenty of opportunity to succeed if there, whether he was drafted, you know what I'm saying, high, or I think he was, like, what, pick 29 or pick 30. I think he was. And I think, like I said, on the way there go. So, like, yeah, that's the local ties we have out there in the NFL.
Okay. John, I was just looking at the overall draft grades, who I liked, some of the teams I liked. There's three teams I thought had really, really good drafts. I thought the New York Football Giants and the Jets both had great drafts. I thought the Giants being able to get Thibodeau there, and then as well getting the offensive tackle, the top offensive tackle from Alabama. I thought them getting them made it huge for the Giants. The Jets getting Sauce Gardner, Wilson, receiver, and also Recall running back. I thought that's huge for the Jets. Good drives now. I still think the Jets are going to be probably last in the East, but I feel like they made good draft picks to build for the future to whatever it could be for them. But I thought the Jets, Giants, and the Lions, those three teams I thought had really, really good draft picks. I did like the Lions draft as well.
Yeah, they focused on I do believe the Lions. I mean, they focused on what they lacked in the off. They lacked, you know what I'm saying, all last season, a defensive presence. You know, if I'm talking about Detroit, the Jets, you know what I'm saying, did their quarterback a favor. Yeah, again, they also did their defense a favor because again, they a lot of games they lost giving up too many points, or they didn't have enough protection for their quarterback. So again, man. Those would be the same teams. I would say Detroit, New York. Brandon, I don't know. I'm a little hesitant to give a stamp of approval for the Giants. I'm not saying they didn't get a good guy, a good pick right there, but they still got a lot of holes to fill. I'm gonna hit them with somewhat of an average. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe a C+. New York Giants, but no, man. Those three particular teams, solid picks for sure.
I think the Giants, obviously, they did not pick up Daniel Jones's option, so they're going to go into it this year. And hell, say they have another bad year, well, guess what? You got some great quarterbacks up there in the draft next year that you can go get yourself a Bryce Young or whoever, you know. So plenty up there for them to get. Nick Foles was released by the Bears. It was kind of an awkward statement that the Bears made on behalf of that. And I just thought that was the Chicago Bears being the Chicago Bears and being awkward with it. But the fact that Nick Foles is a free agent, where will Nick go? Who needs a quarterback right now to address? I know the Panthers say they're still looking at possibly adding a veteran quarterback, whether it be Cam Newton. Or whether it be, I mean, Malik Willis went to Tennessee. Desmond Ridder, he went to. I'm trying to think where he ended up going to. Help me out, John. I'm spacing it.
Did Desmond Ridder go to
Falcons, Atlanta?
Okay. Yeah, he sure did. Right.
Yeah, which that's a good pickup there. Sam Howell's going to Washington to back up Carson Wentz. I think that's a great opportunity for Sam Howell to get himself a starting position, possibly over Carson Wentz, depending on how that goes this year. But I like Howell going to Washington there. Carson Strong, John, didn't get drafted. I wonder if people didn't like what they saw in his in that knee of his, and they kind of stared away. I was surprised Carson Strong did not get drafted.
Yeah, there was a lot of surprises, Brandon. You mentioned the kid from Liberty going to Tennessee. Again, that's like a stashing pick. I mean, that's a stashing kind of pick. Eventually, you know what I'm saying, he'll replace Tannehill. If his athletic ability, you know what I'm saying, grows and matures, and, you know what I'm saying, I would assume as they project him to be, right, you know what I'm saying, he'll be a nightmare in a couple years for the AFC South.
Matt Corral went to Carolina.
Well, that was a good fit. That basically, Matt Corral going to Carolina basically means that Baker Mayfield is still in flux somewhere because there's
right.
a lot of folks thought he was either going to Seattle or Carolina. Matt Corral definitely did pick up for them. But here's the thing, though, Brandon. A lot of teams can't necessarily take on a whole lot of the teams we just mentioned right there in that last segment. Are their coaches and their general manager probably somewhat on a warm hot seat, right? And they can't necessarily take a big gamble or take a big swing rather and bring in a quarterback in the first round or even the second round. Because hell, Sam Howell was a fourth rounder. But we know when we saw him playing in North Carolina, we know he's got an arm on him. He may not have the prototypical stature that they're looking for. In a quarterback, he's not 6'6", right? He's not 6'5" or anything like that. He's not a tall guy, but he can throw, right? He's locked into his receivers, right? I think I told you when he got drafted, I said, dude, by week six, week seven, I know I'm always by week six, week seven, but he might be starting over Carson Wentz, you know?
Right.
I think with Desmond Ridder going to Atlanta at some point, I guarantee you, Brandon, he'll probably get a start just because, you know, saying that team right now is in a rebuild mode and somewhat in flux. I think he has a better arm. I think his accuracy is in question, right? But I think he has a better arm than what they have right now. So, you know, at some point, we'll see a lot of these guys get a little tick next year.
Okay. DeAndre Hopkins is now today, John, suspended 6 games for PEDs.
Wow.
D-Hop
wow.
out. You got to believe that's one reason why they went out and maybe got Hollywood ahead of time, pair him with Rondale Moore. They obviously lost Christian Kirk in off season. But DeAndre Nuke, he is out 6 games with PEDs. You got to believe it was from his rehab, right? That's it.
Right. If the Arizona Cardinals kind of thought themselves taking the next step to be contenders, they've actually, unfortunately, taken like 5 steps back with the public, you know what I'm saying, brouhaha and beef between the quarterback, Kyler Murray, you know what I'm saying, and now this with, you know what I'm saying, DeAndre Hopkins. So, again, man, I know you said you were super critical of it and being taken them serious, man. I'm going to have to put them in the same category, man, until I see more of a mature football team. And again, man, you know what I'm saying? You know, guys, things happen. There's no way a professional athlete doesn't know what he's putting in his body, right? So there's really no excuse for that, man. So, again, you missing your primary target, you know what I'm saying, your primary receiver for 6, like you're putting yourself in a hole. You put your team in a hole, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, it's a tough break. It's self-inflicted, though.
Okay. I went ahead, John, looked at the NFL futures for the Super Bowl champions, where DraftKings right now has winning the Super Bowl favorite-wise. If you had to guess right now, John, who do you think they have as the favorites to win the Super Bowl next year?
Green Bay.
Nope. Out of the AFC.
Kansas City again?
Nope.
The Buffalo's not winning those Super Bowls.
Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
We have the Buffalo Bills at plus 650. Second place is the Bucks at plus 700. Third is the Chiefs. Chiefs, Packers, and Rams are all tied for third. 49ers are up there for sixth. And then 13th is the Colts, which if you want to get some, if you want a good future right now, put some money down, put yourself $10 down. Hell, put $10 down on the Colts right now. That wins you $220 if the Colts win up with the Super Bowl. So 13th, Steelers at plus 6,500, 22nd for Pittsburgh, which that just means that's a wrap. But I do like the value for the Colts, plus 2,200. So, but Bills, Bucks, Chiefs, and Packers, Rams. I was shocked the Niners were up that high.
Well, you know, the Niners still got some – I mean, I don't know, Brandon. I know we're shifting from draft to talking about free agency or potential trades. Man, they still got some pieces that either are unhappy about being there or there's really – I mean, you, Jimmy G, you trust for a certain moment, but not necessarily a big moment. Can that particular team as currently constructed get back to – the NFC Championship game, I would say sure. But at some point, man, you just still feel like as they are currently constructed, they'll make a mistake. So I don't know. Again, they have this, the Jimmy G trade talks have kind of went away, haven't they, right? And then, unfortunately, their second-best player, Deebo Samuels, that trade talks have continuously gone up. But, again, like now we're past the draft, like, you would have thought that they would, a deal would have been made, and like I know they did take an offer, a list to offer from the Jets, and even I think it was also rumored that they also talked to Kansas City and the Green Bay Packers, but you know what I'm saying, nobody bid on it, so maybe the ask, I don't know if the ice offer for Deebo Samuel is too high for those particular teams, but you know what I'm saying, as the present time right now, Deebo Samuel is still you know what I'm saying with the San Francisco 49ers, so. I don't know, man. That high? I mean, I could see them being that high, but Brandon, you know, they. I don't know. I don't foresee them winning, getting to the Super Bowl.
Okay. How arrogant and smug was it with the Sean McVay and the Rams? I know you just won the Super Bowl and all, but please tell me you saw the weird live stream press conference that they were having when the Patriots made their pick. Please, it looked like Sean McVay had a couple cocktails in the system before that. Please, you saw that?
No, I missed it, man. What happened?
So basically, and I'm gonna see if I see they trade everything, and So him and their GM were having their press conference towards the end of the first round. Yada yada yada. This is kind of. And then this, let me find because they make fun of the Patriots. The Patriots are making ready to make their pick of Cole Strange to end the first round. And this is the comment then that he has. It's only a 19-second clip, but here it is. I don't know if that played very well. Come on, play for me.
Really, really?
He just went.
Oh, my, UT Chattanooga to the first round. Hey, where is...
How about that? And we wasted our time watching him thinking he'd be at 104,
hey,
maybe.
So they're chumming it up, thinking, hell... We wasted our time looking at this guy thinking he'd be available in the fourth round, and we got jokers like Bill Belichick taking him in the first round.
Oh, wow.
So he was joking it up. They're like, oh, my God, Strange just went in the first round? Like, and we just wasted time looking over this dude? Like, what the hell? So they are completely out on the draft. Completely out on
right.
the draft.
Right. But isn't Sean McVay really the new – I guess, you know what I'm saying, he feels like this is the world.
I thought it was
crazy.
A smug son of a bitch move he did. I really did. And a lot he rubbed a lot of people wrong doing that. And I just thought.
Right. Right.
Calm down. You want Super Bowl. Still.
How can I side with Bill Belichick ever? Are you serious?
You don't need to side on Bill Belichick, but there's a decorum that you need to have in a press, I believe.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, though.
And, like, just to come out, because that's also burying the kid, saying
that.
Right, oh, my God.
Right.
We were going to give him the fourth round, not the first. So I just thought it was you know, I like Sean McVay, but I thought it was a bad move. And it looked like, it, honestly, if you look at him, his face is pretty flushed. You wonder if they were just kicking back, having some cocktails, and then just kind of they live streamed it because the picks were still going on, and they're like, oh, my God, Strange just went in the first round. So very, very awkward. I can't wait till the Rams and the Patriots play one more time. We'll see. Gosh, Cole Strange is going to have like a career game you watch. We're going to hit our ad reads, John. Right now we're at the top of the hour. We're going to hit our ad reads. We come back. We're going to dive into the world of the NBA playoffs.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Crossroads Sports would also like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic and commercials, available for delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born. Specialized in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, even trucks. Offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today. MaxSports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. All right, John, welcome back. Thank you to our three sponsors. Man, John, I was thinking we gotta get that ad read slowed down a little bit for Wiseman Logistics. You talk 1,000 miles a minute there, I felt like.
Maybe so. We're working on it.
We gotta get them a little more time. NBA playoffs. Four series. We've got Dallas and Phoenix, the Sixers and the Heat, the Warriors and the Grizz, the Bucks and Celtics. Let's first talk from yesterday's games. First one, Bucks and Celtics. Marcus Smart goes out with an apparent arm injury, and the Celtics make a career low 10 two-point field goals in the game. The Bucks just really bullied the Celtics. I know you've said that you've liked the Bucks in this series, and I like the Celtics. I got to feel like the Celtics are going to play better in game two. You know, even with Middleton out, I feel like it was more of a must-win for Milwaukee there with Middleton out for them to go ahead and steal the first one. But still should be a great series, but I was shocked how easily Milwaukee took the game one.
Yeah, I wouldn't say shocked. Again, I took the Bucks to win this series. I think, like you kind of allude to what you said, I think in game two they'll make an adjustment. You'll see a more dynamic Boston Celtics team where they're not necessarily dependent upon their perimeter shooting. They shot 33%, you know what I'm saying, all night. They shot 33% from the floor total. Basically, the Bucks built up a wall, you know what I'm saying, with Giannis and Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis. And that anytime Tatum or Brown try to, you know what I'm saying, slash to get an easy bucket, somebody was there in front of them. You know, and then that, you know, their 3-point shooters, Pat Connaughton and Grayson Allen, were able to, you know what I'm saying, knock down 50% of their shots. Both of these teams play solid defense. There's no way Marcus Smart would be defensive player of the year. You know what I'm saying? That's, you know what I'm saying, it's a total team effort. You know what I'm saying, he's just kind of head of the snake. But you know, for him, man, hell, I think that team, I think they're the first or second in charges. You know what I'm saying, as a team. You know what I mean, that Boston is. So I still feel like this is going at least six games. They don't really have an answer. Boston does not have an answer for Giannis on the inside. They don't have. You're basically talking about a David Robinson kind of guy with handles and Giannis, you know what I'm saying, and what the ability he's able to do and finishing that around the bucket and finishing around the rim. And now to add on to, you know, to add insult to injury, he's hitting his free throws. You know what I'm saying? So you can't just necessarily hack and shack him and tend to the line and hope he goes 50%, you know. So I think Tatum and Brown, you know, saying are actually on the floor, and I think you know, saying Coach Udoka, they'll figure it out and get a win, or a win or two rather. Again, when the Bucks are playing at their best, and Bobby Portis is, you know, what I'm saying, and they dominated the board. Bobby Portis has 10 rebounds his damn self.
Bobby Bucket.
Right. And Brook Lopez had 11. Giannis had a triple double. So they just kind of dominated them on the defensive end on the boards. And you know, whoever that's a great basketball prim. Whoever controls the boards controls the game. So they just gonna have to play. If Boston, the keys to win for Boston, they're gonna have to play a little bit faster and potentially get, you know, saying more foul shots for Tatum and Brown. I think Brown only went to Tatum hit. I think Tatum went to the foul line at least eight times. I think he went 5 for 8. And Jaylen Brown only had 2 foul shots the whole entire game. That's not going to cut it. Because, again, you can't out-physical the Bucks, but at least maybe you can play a little bit smarter, play a little bit more faster, and, you know what I'm saying, and at least get their guards and their wing players in foul trouble where, you know what I'm saying, you're feeding off the line. They tried to have, it was funny, Brandon. They tried to put everybody on Giannis. And though he didn't necessarily shoot a high percentage from the floor, I think he shot like 9 for 25, they couldn't stop him. He was like a freight train. You know what I'm saying? He essentially just stopped himself. You know what I mean? So, but again, like I said, you know what I'm saying, this Boston team has been very, you know what I'm saying, forthright in what they've been able to do to bounce back, you know what I'm saying, whether it was during the regular season or even during the playoffs. And I think they get a victory in game two, but they're going to have to play a little bit smart. And they're going to have to get a throwback game from Al Horford for darn sure. So, and if they think they're going to, get any win against Milwaukee, they're going to have to get it. It's going to be a total team effort and not just those two guys, Tatum and Brown.
Okay. Looking at the other game that was yesterday, the Warriors and the Grizzlies. I want 7 games of this series. I am in for all 7. It was exciting back and forth. Missed free throws by Clay, missed free throws by Steph, a huge defensive stop by Steph that you don't think of him being a big defensive guy.
Right.
And then Ja Morant just getting to the basket with ease. I had the Warriors -2. A couple missed free throws kept me from winning that bet. They win by 1, so that was a brutal bad beat. But I am all for this series. I still think the Warriors win this one. Draymond got ejected in the second quarter for something that even I said was a little much that he got ejected for. I've seen a lot worse people have been ejected for. I think it's just because it's Draymond Green that's why they kind of gave him the flagrant 2 on it. I listened to the podcast 20 minutes after the game he did. Just kind of talking it, but they're not going to rescind it, which is crazy still. But the fact they only won by 1, Clay had a horrible shooting night and foul trouble, and Draymond only played the half of the game before he got ejected. I still like the Warriors to win this in maybe 6 games.
Yeah, I got 6 games, man. These teams are they mirror one another, right? They're very talented, very talented at the wing and guard position. Very athletic, up front. If you think about what both teams have, the Warriors have Kuminga and Wiggins. Very talented, you know. They're very, very mirror image. Or Bane is a 3-point marksman, just like Steph and Clay is. You know what I'm saying? And we know we all love the athleticism and what Ja Morant does from the point guard position. Though it's not just like Steph, it's you know what I'm saying. It's very electric in what he does on the court. Right, so it's kind of like looking, you know, saying these teams are kind of like looking the mirror images of one another. One is just has to be a little bit older. One has to be, you know, what I'm saying, just, you know, saying the young dog, younger, you know, saying new pups on the street as far as playoffs is concerned. So, but experience, you know, saying is going to, I think experience is going to favor the Warriors, you know, saying because they know how to finish games. That's what I learned about watching Memphis the last round. That particular series against Minnesota should have went 7. It's just the fact that Minnesota, shame on them. Don't, you know what I'm saying? It's Charles Barkley. What do you call them? The dumbest team. He didn't call them dumb like they don't. He don't call them the ABCs. He just means they're dumb like they don't know how to. They don't know how to win. They don't know how to execute. Well, Memphis, though they're supremely talented, sometimes they let their emotions get the best of them, and you know what I'm saying? They start. They're too much. It's great to dance. It's great to celebrate. It's great to chest bump and, you know what I'm saying, do all those things. But you have to finish the game. You know what I'm saying? You can't You know what I'm saying? You can't let Steph get a good look. I think before you had to corral rebound. I think Steph had two looks, and then the ball finally bounced back, and then he landed into Clay's hand, and, you know, then boom, it was boom. They went up one. You know, I know Clay missed the two free throws, but it was, like, unbelievable. You know, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You think he at least hit one. But, man, you have to be able to finish games and put away teams. And that doesn't also mean scoring. That means, like what you just said, Steph did. Steph came with a big steal. You know what I'm saying? When the switch out between him and John Morant, you know what I'm saying? And, like, I guess people just assumed that Steph was, you know, not going to be about that life and not step up and make a play, and he made a play. Again, that steals the game for you. Rebounds, steals. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Those type of plays, you know, everybody you have to make to navigate your way through these playoffs with a W. So
until Memphis can
do that, again, they're going to be on the losing end. Again, you know what I'm saying? This game was too highly – this is really highly contested. You know what I'm saying? It was a back and forth. I get it. Everybody probably wants – you know what I'm saying, seven games, if not eight, and then we can't do eight, right? But everybody wants seven games of what this particular team, these two teams can do because, yeah, they got a lot of offense. And it's a lot of smart-looking basketball, you know what I'm saying? But, again, like I said, Memphis, of course, Memphis is probably going to get at least one. But, again, they got to figure out how to close games, Brandon, real fast.
Yeah, it's you get a moment tonight, John. Watch that. If you can get back and see the TNT tip-off show. They actually got Draymond on there right now with Barkley and Kenny and all them. And they keep going back to the play. And it's actually getting pretty – it's funny, but it's also getting a little heated between the conversation with them all and him. So, but, yeah, they were talking about just kind of him grabbing the jersey and pulling the guy down and all. But, yeah, like I said, I'm on the Draymond side on this. Warriors, I think they get it done, as I said, six games at max, even though I prefer seven. And you can't tell me, John – that John Morant's dad and Usher are not the same person.
Hold on, Brady. Say one more time. You broke up there for a second.
I said you cannot tell me that John Morant's dad and Usher are not the same person.
It's like they separated birth, don't they?
Dude, they look. I said, is that Usher on the sideline? And they're like, that's John Morant's dad. I said, what?
Yeah. They're like they separated birth, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm already getting tired of him, like they did Steph Curry's daughter. They kept showing her in the stands. I'm already tired of seeing Morant's dad, so I'm ready for them to be eliminated. They don't need to go to him every freaking 2 seconds. I'm sorry, they don't. Show the players on the court.
You don't like the AAU dad?
No, I hate the AAU dad. I throw the AAU dads out is what I do.
Well,
shouldn't even be allowed to sit front row. That's one rule I would have. No parents sit in front row.
Still American.
And by the way, I saw the guy that's always at the Clippers games, that's the white dude with the white long hair, is at the Clippers and Lakers games.
Yeah, he was there, man. That's crazy.
What the hell's he doing there?
Recruiting John Morant for the Lakers?
Dude, something. I said, this dude's at the Lakers games, the Clippers.
Side conversation. Do you really think, after watching just a little bit of fractional with John Morant, And again, man, I think he's still on the contract. So, I mean, I can get away with talking about it. Do you really think that him and Anthony Edwards, who, you know what I'm saying, from the last year, you think they're going to be Lakers? I mean, I'm sorry. Do you think they're going to be with their respective teams their whole career? No way. No way.
John Morant, no. Anthony Edwards, no.
Well,
I'm trying to think where I can see them both at. You could say LA.
Right. At some point, man, you know, the LAs of the world, whether it's the Lakers or the Clippers or even Miami.
I guess John beat them Brooklyn.
I was getting ready to say Brooklyn or the Knicks, if they ever get their act together.
Or depending on how Popovich stays, I could see him being a star. And he's trying to be built.
Unfortunately, San Antonio, you know what I'm saying, though, he's probably one of the better, greatest coaches of all time, man. Nobody wants to finish their career in San Antonio unless you get drafted there, you know what I'm saying. That's a different situation, but nobody's running to San Antonio to become, you know what I'm saying, to form the next super team.
So we'll see with that. Going to tonight, John, Joel Embiid is out. First, it was the broken thumb or whatever, torn ligament in the thumb.
Man.
Now it's the orbital bone fracture. He's out indefinitely for the 76ers. That there's a report now that tonight they said Chris Harris on TNT said that early as game three that Embiid would try to push to come back. But I think that's a wrap. I think Miami's got the series, John. Harden can't. We saw what Harden tried to do last year with Durant, and now it's just Harden and Maxey and Tobias Harris and them, but I don't even think James Harden's ready for this.
You would hope that, you know what I'm saying, some of those guys are max players, though, Brandon, between Harden and Tobias Harris, man. So you would hope, again, at some point they would be able to, you know what I'm saying, hold the tide. Maybe not in Miami, so maybe, you know what I'm saying, when they get to Philadelphia, they could, you know what I'm saying, because, again, Tobias Harris is that fringe kind of guy, you know what I'm saying, that wanted to be paid like an all-star, but that scenario hasn't necessarily been played like an all-star, right? So it'll be on Doc Rivers to come up with a scheme, of course, for all 82 games of the regular season. They kind of ran through things through Joel. Right. So, again, that's a big piece of their offense and defense that's gone now, unfortunately. And, again, man, you know what I'm saying, as far as the team is concerned, if Doc Rivers still doesn't – I said last week, last show, Doc Rivers doesn't get to the finals. I think there's a change regardless of – they might come with some type of spare, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean, because if Joel doesn't play any of these games – you're asking Joel Embiid to come back from two big injuries, man. You know what I'm saying? Injured ligament in the tan, a concussion, and you know what I'm saying? If you can play with a mask or whatever, man, you're asking a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? And I know we all want these guys to be walking, talking like, you know what I'm saying, Terminators, where they can just take a lick and keep on ticking. But that's a lot. That's kind of a lot to overcome, you know. So Miami Heat is not going to spare anybody. They're going to play their hardest. You know what I'm saying? With the crew that they have, and they have depth at the wing, at guard and whatnot. So we'll see a lot of helping of Victor Oladipo this particular round, because I think Lowry's out for the next two games itself, just because they know they can kind of rest it right now with, you know what I'm saying, with their face. I think if Joel was playing Lowry, Kyle Lowry would be playing. You know what I mean? That's basically what I'm trying to say. But I will be shocked if the Heat sweep the Philadelphia 76ers. I think Philadelphia can at least squeak out one.
I was thinking five.
I think the Philadelphia 76ers, but, like, come on. Big game James Harden, or not so big game James, he wants a $200 million. That's what he wants, man. Now, if he can somehow will this team to get to a game seven.
Will you apologize?
Like, no, seriously. I won't apologize, because, like, Philadelphia will love it. Philadelphia, no, for real. If they can get to a game seven, the Philadelphia will love them. Now, if they can get to a game seven, man, and, you know, that's that. You know, I think Joel might play in a game seven. Game one and game two, he's not playing. Okay? But a game seven, that's, you know, that's all chips on the table. You go into the next round, like, you know what I'm saying, where you haven't been, you know what I'm saying, living in, you know what I'm saying, for quite some time since the Toronto, right? Well, that wouldn't even start, but you know what I'm saying. But, yeah, so I don't know. James Harden wants the big-time contract. You know what I'm saying, him and a couple other players, free agents this year, they want the big contract. They want the $200 million contract. This is how you get it. Push it to a game seven, and then I'm sure Philadelphia or some other team will find that money for you, because then a lot of the things, you know what I'm saying, you quit him quitting on Houston or him quitting on Brooklyn, coming in out of shape, whatever. A lot of things, all of these kind of go away, because now people can see all the specialness that he had when he was the MVP. That's what it's going to take. He's going to have to play at his MVP level. So we shall see.
Okay. Final one is Dallas and Phoenix, John. Booker is back from his injury. Chris Paul had an amazing game, closeout game. I think it was, what, 18 for 18 or something like that? And his
19, yep. 14,
yeah,
shot,
whatever
yeah.
it was. Didn't miss a shot, Chris Paul. So Phoenix advances. They're the number one seed. They're taking on Luka. Luka finally has a first series win. Jalen Brunson stepped it up for the Mavericks. Cleaver He's played well. He used to couldn't shoot rods out of a barn. He's hitting threes like crazy. I kind of, you know, this series, I'm looking forward to this one as well. And I think Phoenix wins the series.
Right.
But I've got a little bit of money on the Mavericks beating them in the series.
You better take your money and put it back on Phoenix.
I'm just telling you, I just
Brandon, we saw Utah's not a good measuring stick, man. Those guys, that team is about to be imploded. We know this, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Inside scoops, man. That team's about to be imploded. Bojan Bogdanovich might be back with the Pacers. Who knows? You never
Stop
know.
It.
But Rudy Gobert is probably out of there. They're going to do their, you know, what I'm saying, Utah front office is going to do their due diligence to try to keep their franchise player Donovan Mitchell happy. Quinn Snyder is probably 50-50 if he stays. You know, it just depends. It won't be because the team wants to go in new direction. It won't be because of the one loss record. They've done enough. They've kind of just maxed out on their talent there, on what they've kind of built there in Utah. So, like I said, I can't necessarily say that is a measuring stick. Dallas beating them is a step in the right direction. I can't poo-poo it either. It's a step in the right direction for the Mavericks, but you know what I'm saying? Did they really get hard pressed? You know what I'm saying? In that particular series. And this series coming up, again, you know what I'm saying? Luka Doncic will have somewhat of an advantage. You know what I'm saying? He's got the height and you know, advantage over any of his matchups, whether they switch it out on – where they have Chris Paul. I can't imagine him starting out on Chris Paul. Chris Paul starting on him defensively. But, you know what I'm saying, he'll have a matchup problem. That'll be done. You know what I'm saying? But I don't necessarily trust Dallas. Brandon, long story, it's five games, Phoenix takes them to five.
Okay. Looking at the odds, John, DraftBook, Sportsbook, updated NBA championship odds. Who do you believe they have as Vegas has as the favorites to win the NBA title?
It must have just changed because Vegas still 2 weeks ago had the Brooklyn Nets going to the finals. And
yeah,
know,
they
and
had they changed it when things update.
Yeah, that's good. So it's still, coming out of the East, it has to be Milwaukee, and coming out of the West, I feel like there's somewhat of a the winds are blowing for Golden State just a little bit more. I think who does I think so answer the question, Jonathan. I still think Vegas says the Bucks win the championship.
Number one, the Bucks are actually third to win the NBA title.
Okay.
Plus 500.
Who's first and second?
First is the Warriors at plus 255. And
okay.
The Suns are at plus 290. So it's Warriors, Suns, Bucks, and then Boston, Miami, and then Sixers, Dallas, and then Memphis.
So here's the thing. I still would edge if it would be in the Suns' best. You know what I'm saying? Best. You know, it would be best for them to basically try to sweep Dallas. So that because we and you both believe that Golden State and Memphis is going six or seven, right? At least six.
Yes.
That's going to be a battle. They need to give Devin Booker's hamstrings a rest so that they can, you know what I'm saying, get the championship run in, right? I still believe Phoenix is with a healthy Devin Booker, I think Phoenix is a better team because they play better. That like shot for shot, offense for offense, that's kind of even. But I think defensively, the Suns are just a little bit better than the Warriors. So I can see why Vegas said the Warriors. But again, it's not like the Warriors don't play defense either. I just think the Suns play a little bit better, and they have a little bit better inside presence with DeAndre Ayton with the Suns. So again, Brandon, I know Vegas probably, you know what I'm saying, they got guys that, you know what I'm saying, study this and whatnot. But again, I still got the. I know here's the thing though. I still got the Suns. I think they're still a repeat from last year, of the two teams, Suns versus Bucks.
Okay. Carl Anthony Towns, John, is he out of Minnesota? And it looks like the teams are going to be looking to trade to get D'Angelo Russell from Minnesota as well.
Yeah, man. There was a I listened to a lot of, you know, dark web podcast shows. You know what I'm saying? They, you know, and like this was the buzz last year with Carl Anthony Towns kind of not wanting to throw in Minnesota. It's not like a story that we haven't heard before. Kevin Love didn't want to see it through in Minnesota. Kevin Garnett didn't want to see it through in Minnesota. And like Minnesota's not necessarily where championships are built there. It's like where championship players are built to go on to other teams. That's kind of what happens there. So, I just kind of thought it was weird, man. Carl Anthony Towns, after the elimination game, against Memphis, he was blowing kisses to the crowd. Like, you know, like it was like he was saying, like, I know I'm going to be traded. You know what I'm saying? So, I think that I said a couple. You know what I'm saying? You kind of chided me back and said, "Yo, there's always player movement during the summer." I think it's going to be big player movement this summer. We know Westbrook's getting traded. You know what I'm saying? I particularly think Carl Anthony Towns is getting traded. D'Angelo Russell probably was just like, you know, they probably thought they were getting rid of Wiggins' contract, and it wasn't necessarily Wiggins that was the issue. It was just the fact that the pieces didn't necessarily fit with Wiggins and Carl Anthony Towns, you know. And then he didn't play. Like, did he look like an all-star at any point in time during that Memphis series?
No, he shot that three-pointer 4 seconds into the shot clock. What the hell?
Right, so... So, again, I know he's a two-time All-Star, and, you know what I'm saying, there's a lot of – there's always been like, hey, man, when is this guy going to ever pull it all together since his days leaving Ohio State and playing with the Lakers, if anybody remembers that far back in the past. So, there's going to be players all – you know what I'm saying, how can we figure that? The guy in New York, the Knicks, he's going to be on the move. The guy that just paid him over the past summer. So there's going to be a lot of big player movement, and Brandon Drumroll, Rudy Gobert, I just said in Utah. And so there's also talk about
either me or him. Okay.
Right. He said, yeah, that's a rumor that he said he went to Brass. He went to the front office and said, it's either me or him, Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell, where
you're out.
Rudy, the way things work in NBA, man, if that's really true, man, then Rudy Gobert is just as gone. You know what I mean? So, but like, there's also talk about Brooklyn potentially, you know what I'm saying, trying to figure out what they're going to do with some of those picks and bringing another, maybe not necessarily superstar, but definitely another all-star to try to help them get back to the level they want to get back to. So I expect big player movement this summer, big player movement.
Okay. Last thing I have on NBA, John, let's see. I got it. Our tankathon, our another tankathon. We got what, another week or two before the things come out. So,
yeah,
the tankathon is out, and let's see who the Pacers have. If it will actually sim, why is it not working? Oh, there we go. As I clicked the wrong button, and well, that's the mock. Here we go. All right, is the Indiana Pacers select Shaedon Sharpe, number 7, out of Kentucky. So the Pacers get the 7th pick, which is where I think they'll end up. Sharpe getting the second one.
They better try to package. If the Shaedon Sharpe is the pick, they better try to package that with Malcolm Brogdon. Because folks around here are not going to be happy. I tell you that right now. Folks around here are not going to be happy. That's not to disparage Shaedon Sharpe's potential, you know what I'm saying,
of
what he could be.
You can dog him.
He said, I can't. But like, nah, man, I think the Pacers are hoping they get a little bit higher than that. So we shall see. Like I said, I think it's next week. We get to find out where all the teams select, and you know what I'm saying, from 1 through, as far as the lottery is concerned, from 1 through 14. So we shall see if we get a Pablo or if we get a Shaedon Sharpe.
Jalen Smith right now is the favorite to be the number 1 pick overall. He's plus 100. Chet Sure. Is number two, Paulo three, Jaden Ivey number four, and actually number five is Shaedon Sharpe.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. And,
right. We'll see what happens there. A couple quick hitters, John. I have one. Where's my sound bag at? Here we go.
Oh, man.
We got to play the bagpipes. You know, I said this probably about a month ago when the season started, that the season was already over before it started, and you laughed at me when I said it. But we're 22 games into the Major League Baseball season, John.
Yeah.
And me and my Mr. Coach Mike Fleck and JMV, our Cincinnati Reds are 3-19 on an 18-game losing streak. 18, John. 3 wins, and 2 of them were in the first series against the Braves. So if that gives you anything.
That should give you some feel good. You beat the World Series champs. But
laughing
15 stock. Games out. You're right, you're laughing stock. 15 games out of it, man. I know it's still early.
It's not early. It's over.
They're not. But they, you know what, Brandon, I know our homie usually calls in from Gotham, from New York, in the New York area, man, but everything's happy. Everybody's happy up in New York and Maine.
Hell yeah.
They're both number one. They're both number
I'm happy
one
with the Mets. They want me some money this weekend.
They're both number one in their respective divisions. I don't know, you know, saying the Twins hold in the Central or not, or even the A or Los Angeles Angels out west. But I kind of like the Dodgers defense. I mean, that division is competitive. Dodgers division is real competitive, you know what I'm saying, with them and the Giants. But the Brewers, that's the name that we haven't really, you know, mentioned here. Just yet. Again, you know, again, it's still early and we shall see. Who would you say, Brandon, who would you say, like, who else deserves a little bagpipe love? Could you say maybe the Red Sox? Because I think they only won,
no.
like, 6 games so far.
No, I would. No, that's a very competitive division over there. I would say right now, just the way they're playing, like, I know they won today, and I put some money on them today, but the White Sox are underachieving. I had the White Sox winning the AL Central. I actually had the White Sox as one of my picks to win the World Series this year. And they're coming out of the gate horrific right now. So, I mean, they won today, but I would say them, Phillies. Phillies are coming out bad. I thought the Phillies would be better this year. Cubs are playing better than I thought they would this year so far. Padres, whenever they get Fernando Tatis Jr. back, I think they'll be decent again. They have won me some good money. They won me a lot of money against the Reds in that series. Right now, I'm just betting against my Reds every game, and I'm winning.
There you go.
So, I mean,
there you go.
At least there's that we're looking forward to. Two things I got, John. Number one, Scott Frost, your buddy and mine, Scott Frost in Nebraska, got hit by the NCAA with some penalties and sanctions for illegal activity going on out there in Lincoln.
What?
Yeah,
in the world of NIL, somebody's getting hit with penalties. I don't get it.
Yes, let me read it for you.
Go ahead.
Scott Frost received a 1-year show clause and a six-day suspension as an NCAA investigation concludes for using an extra coach.
Ah, man. So you were cheating, and you know, saying you had a mediocre season.
Yeah.
And you get caught cheating. It'd be different if you won a championship. Man, I don't know. They need to have they definitely some bounce back down in Lincoln, Nebraska. So
with the NIL now, that the one guy, the kid decided I'm not gonna transfer now that we've worked it out. I don't think it's a matter of we worked it out. I think it's the fact that his NIL people there with the company, LifeWallet or whatever, said you're under contract for this. This is what you're given. If you breach the contract, you're going to be paying severe penalties.
Now, you know what, Brandon? I don't know all the legalities around that, right? And I don't even know. It's something we got to learn. Like, so what if either one of these guys wanted to turn pro? You know what I'm saying? What if a team told them, you know, so Nigel Pack going to – Nigel Pack, you know what I'm saying, the guy we talked about last week, he got $800,000 to play for the University of Miami for 2 years. What after this first year, like, the scouts are saying, dude, if you come out – and I know this is like a long shot, right? Because if they would have been already said that after 2 years if him being in Kansas State. But I'm just saying, for argument's sake, right? What if he goes to Miami? Where's the Final Four? Again, another long shot. What if they say he's a lottery pick? Honor his contract with the University of Miami? I don't know, man. I think what's the kid's name? Wayne. I think whatever he got, he called home, and they said, son, you can either take that money, or you can deal with the field, and maybe the field doesn't want to pay you. You know what I'm saying? Maybe another team doesn't want to pay you what the University of Miami is paying him to play. So it's a
right.
mess.
There's a new article I'm going to send you that just came out maybe about 10 minutes ago on Sports Illustrated's website. The title of it, Big Money Donors Have Stepped Out of the Shadow to Create Chaotic NIL Market. The other thing I saw with it is the fact that boosters are bankrolling teams through NIL. Bidding wars feature six-figure salaries, private flights, and free cars. In 2022, top collectives will raise $500 million in NIL salary pools, and
right.
elite recruits will cost $100,000 a year.
Right, I get it. I got no problem with that. I really don't. But understand that just basketball is a little bit different than any other sport because – so one guy can impact the game. There's four other people out there, you know, or, you know, they can impact the game just as much. So just because you have $200,000 guys on a college basketball team doesn't mean you're going to win the Big Ten, ACC, or whatever league that you might be in. Definitely doesn't win. Doesn't mean that you're going to be able to navigate the Final Four, the tournament, because that's one and done. It's not like a seven-game series that you play in the NBA where you get to make a mistake and then get to capitalize on the bounce back and win, you know what I'm saying, four games to close out. So a fool and his money are soon parted, man. So I guess, you know what I'm saying, kudos to the kids for being able to negotiate their talent, right? But, you know, Miami, I can't, Brandon, in your lifetime, they might have, the University of Miami, has made the Sweet 16, maybe a handful of times. But how many times have you ever really taken them, or anybody you know has really taken them seriously and winning a Final Four? Ever. Right? Never, I would say. So, again, kudos to whatever programs are doing, whatever they can do to try to gain some type of notoriety. But I don't know. I think it's a broken science. I really do.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm just like, people start transferring, and then what happens to the money? Are they allowed to? Are they not allowed to keep it? Do they breach their contract? I just think there's so much that we're going to run into. So it'll be interesting
right.
to see what's happening into the future with that.
Right.
That time of the year, John. It's the Run of the Roses, the Kentucky Derby this Saturday. I actually went this past July, got to go to Churchill Downs, tour the Kentucky Derby facilities, talk with the people there, loved it. A lot of great memories there. Had my mint julep and everything. But Derby this weekend, right now the postings just came out today. Zandon right now is your 3-1 favorite. Epicenter is your second at 7-2, and Messier 8-1. Those are your top three right now. Zandon, Epicenter, Messier. One of the greatest weekends ever in sports. I talked about it at the top of the show, but the Kentucky Derby, one of the greatest sports weekends as well. I put it right there. Kentucky Derby, 8-500, Coca-Cola 600. What a great month of May.
Spectator sport, right? Right, right. Big spectator sport down there. I have never been. I've watched only a few, be honest with you, because I'm not a big gambler. right? But I know people have, you know what I'm saying, listeners, our good buddy Justin Powell, loves him some horse racing. So, and I know, I think he's been to a couple of derbies. So, shout out to the Derby. The Derby is right around the corner, y'all. So if you want to win some money, I know we'll probably put some odds on, you know what I'm saying, up on the Facebook page on who's the favorite to win.
Yeah, I put those up today, earlier today.
Okay.
Posting the odds. And I actually got on Facebook Live right now, so people want to take a look at that.
There we go.
Yeah, some of the names, Mo Dongle, Happy Jack, Epicenter, Summer is Tomorrow, Smile Happy, Crown Pride, Charge It, Messier, Tis the Bomb. I like Tis the Bomb. That's a cool name.
Oh, my goodness.
Zandon, Pioneer of Medina, Tubia, Simplification, Barber Shop, or Barber Road, White Abero, Cyber Knife, Classic Causeway, Tanti Port, Zozo's, and Ethereal Road. Say that a couple times. So those are your horses running as of right now. John, I don't have much left on my docket. What do you got? You got anything on your docket you want to talk about?
I just want to talk a little bit more about USL football, USFL football. I've kind of been sharing a lot of the stuff, content about it on the Facebook page, Crossroads Sports Facebook. I watch it on Saturday, you know what I mean? Because it's kind of scheduled funky, to be honest with you. Scheduled right before the playoff games. But again, like I said before on a couple shows prior to, once the playoff game comes on, like my attention span kind of shifts to that just because that's historically where your attention span would go to if you're NBA, if you're a sports fan and you still like the NBA. I will say, you know what I'm saying, though they don't have a great, like, media presence, ESPN doesn't cover it, obviously, because it's contractual. They're ESPN and ABC have deep roots ties with the ABC, you know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying, that league, from a social media standpoint, Brandon, they got a pretty good social media following.
Nobody goes to the games.
Yeah, that's the lone part. So, I'll tell the truth about that. So, the week one, they had a pretty good viewership, over a million viewers watched for the average over that particular weekend. And they had a big dip that went down to average 665,000 viewership, which is bad. But by comparison to a historical sport like they outdid NHL this past weekend. So it's a league. Here's the thing, Brandon. It's a league that needs a lot. So you're dealing with professionals. You're dealing with guys. Oh, I remember that guy when he played in college. Oh, I remember that guy when he was on our roster back in 2017, NFL roster, back in 2017 or 2018, whatever. It's that kind of league. So you can call it a league of also-ran or forgotten players, but it's definitely a professional football league, okay? I don't know what their particular end game is. Are they trying to sell themselves as a G League potentially in going into the future for the NFL? Because let's be honest, Brandon, at some point, the under-the-table agreement that the NFL has with college football is going to go away, okay? Where they kind of, you know what I'm saying, NFL uses college football. They say, well, dude, you can't come here till you're 20, you know what I'm saying, till you're 3 years removed, you know what I'm saying, from high school, right? Those are the rules. I think at some – so, again, if the USF isn't doing that, if the USF isn't doing that where they're making themselves to be a G League, it might be the case where they want to be competitive. Right now, it's hard to not root for a bunch of guys who didn't – you know what I'm saying? Or boo them, rather, I should say. It's hard to boo a bunch of guys who are basically trying to get their career going back on, right? Who's the villain of this league? Who's the guy that's like, man, you know what I mean? They don't have that particular guy. Man, I can't wait till they sack his ass. There's nobody out there like that, right? Like, how many times, how many people, millions of people love Tom Brady? Guess what? There's 3 million people that hate Tom Brady, right? For how many people that love the Dallas Cowboys in the state of Texas, how many people hate the Dallas Cowboys? Like, how many people think they're overrated, right? So the USFL is growing. They have, like I said, professional football, they just don't have some of those types of things built in. And they also don't have a lot, like I said, they don't have the media scrutiny. They don't have an Ian Rappaport who's constantly talking about USL football players. They don't have a Shift or Adam, you know what I'm saying, those guys who are constantly tweeting about, oh, this the inner working happenings of of what happened, you know what I'm saying, at whatever team, Adam Schefter, whoever. They don't have that right now. But they do have football betting. You can go on there and place a bet. It's kind of hard betting on something that you really don't – that you're super confident in, right? You know what I mean? So, Brandon, I watch it because I'm a football nerd. I kind of know some of those. Oh, that guy went to Michigan. Oh, I remember that guy when he went to, you know what I'm saying, San Diego State. But, you know, they have that kind of there. And, you know, Jeff Fisher's the coach there. Todd Haley's the coach there. You know what I'm saying? They have some representation of guys that you know. But again, if they can keep their rating somewhere in the, you know, like I said, 600,000 range to a million, they'll probably get a run back for next year and probably get even more media backing. It'd be interesting to see. Right now, guys only making like $45,000. I say only 10 games, $45,000 a year. Everybody gets paid the same. Okay. It'll be interesting to see how they try to build upon next year. Do they go after a Colin Kaepernick? Because guess what, Brandon? If they go after Colin, if they find the money to go after a Colin Kaepernick or even a Tim Tebow, I'm giving you both sides of the spectrum. There's people that hate Colin Kaepernick. There's people that love Colin Kaepernick. There's people that hate Tim Tebow. There's people that love Tim Tebow. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you go after, there's no way they, Brandon, what's going to happen? Uh-oh, are we out of time? No, we're getting close. What happens if our homie Baker Mayfield gets cut and no NFL team wants him? There's people that would love to see Baker Mayfield, you know what I'm saying, fail on another level. But, like, that would just bring in more viewership. So, but that's going to cost them. They're going to have to generate more revenue right now. None of those guys I just said, Baker Mayfield, those quarterbacks, they're not playing for $45,000. 10 games, much less 5. You know what I'm saying? Where they were used to dealing with probably $45,000 a game. You know, game check for them is like, you know what I mean, $45,000. So I would encourage anybody who's a football purist. How about that? Or football nerds like myself, man. Just to watch, you know what I'm saying, take a Saturday. You've got a Saturday afternoon before the final start, before the NBA playoffs start, man. Just watch it. It's decent. It's good. It's tackle football. It's just that, you know, it's like it's not – oh, and it's not like the three. It's not like, you know, throwback football to the 1940s where the score is 13-9 or, you know, saying 3-6. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a league that, like I said, is building. It's kind of building itself. This is the first year, well, you know, technically the reboot year, right? But right now, Brandon, they just don't have a lot of things that people just aren't willing. You know what I'm saying? Those fans, those built-in fan things. Like again, there's nobody. Who do you really hate when all these dudes are really just doing it? They're trying to get their careers going. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody really to cheer or boo in that regard. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I watch it because I'm a sports fanatic. You know what I'm saying? I watch it, you know what I'm saying, because, you know what I'm saying, it's, like I said, it's something when the cartoons go up on Saturday and before the NBA playoffs comes on, there's usually a game on Saturday or Sunday. But like I said, I encourage anybody to watch it, man, and just kind of just watch it with some lenses that say that, yo, these guys are trying to, you know what I'm saying, trying to build something. For, you know what I'm saying, an alternative league that's not watered down in any shape, way or form.
I haven't watched a single game. I've had no
Shame
interest.
Shame on you, Brandon. Shame on you.
I don't, man. I don't need it. I don't need
I
to watch football.
I told you why you don't. I told you why you don't. There's nobody. If Tim Tebow went out there, dude, the fans, if Birmingham, Alabama, it's all kind of they're in a bubble. I'm saying that would be for next year. But if Tim Tebow went out there and made it a spectacle, dude, there would be people everywhere. If Colin Kaepernick went out there, there would be TMZ would be out there. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of things the NFL and other professional sports league, NBA include. That's what they have built in. You know what I'm saying? This league doesn't necessarily have that just now, but you know, it's coming. I think.
Okay. Anything else?
It'll probably make people sick if Andrew Luck comes out of retirement.
Stop.
and joins the USFL. I wouldn't put it past him, but we shall see. But no, that's the only things that kind of watched this past weekend. I'm still on you know what I'm saying, Major League Baseball and definitely the playoff kick. But yeah, USFL, it's not bad.
No, not for me. Too much other stuff's on, man. I got NHL, I've got NBA playoffs. I got enough of that and work right now to deal with instead of the USFL
right, you got
football.
Plenty of work.
I got my fix for football this past weekend with the draft. That's all I needed for now.
There you go.
So, college football is coming up. One sports book I saw already has some lines out for week one in college football. So,
wow.
It'll be interesting to see once that comes back. So, looking forward to that. I'm gonna take my rightful spot on top of Pick'em. Housekeeping for next week. Early show next week, probably Monday or Tuesday night. Not sure which one next week. And then I am out of town for my golf trip with the boys.
There you go.
So. That'll either be Monday or Tuesday. We'll see which one. But early show this week, wanted to get it out to you guys. Wanted to talk. We got a busy rest of the week. But communicate with us. Talk with us on Twitter, on Facebook. We'll be there commenting all week as these sports goes on. I'm kind of going from there. John, you can do the last and then wrap us.
I just want to say thank you for everybody for chiming in on the Facebook Live. I saw some of the familiar names. I also want to say thank you to our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Wiseman Logistics, and Mavericks Custom Motorsport. How could we do our show in its entirety without our sponsors, man? And thanks everybody, for listening right now live. Shame on you if you didn't call. Shame on for me and Brandon. We always forget to put out the number. The number is 477-931. Damn it, I just got tongue tied, Brandon. Shame on me. You have to edit this out in post. But you know what I'm saying? We gotta start pumping up the number as well. For people can call in. But outside of that, man, rather than me just rambling on, I'll just end it right there. Thanks everybody.
I got one last one for you, John.
Go ahead.
Sorry, you were cutting out a little bit, but I got one last one for you. Imani Bates has narrowed his list of destinations to play at next year after he's left Memphis. I'm interested in your thoughts on these. I'll say what?
Hey, I know that's incredible. I think one of them is still Michigan State. I thought.
No.
No, it's not. Okay, where's he going? Think about going.
Michigan, Arkansas, Seton Hall, DePaul, Louisville, and Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, man. I can't call it, man. He's just a good player, and like it wasn't Memphis, it wasn't Hardaway's coaching, it's him. So in his mind and in his reputation's mind, they think he's supposed to come out and scoring 30 or 40 points a game because that's what he did in high school. Remember, if you're listening, you know what I'm saying, this is a level up. So you're just as good as the guys, or some of these guys are even better than, you know what I'm saying, on this level than you were in high school. So I wish him the best, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We live in a day and era where kids can go jump from school to school or whatever, try to figure out the best versions of themselves. But, you know, he, Imani Bates thinks he's an NBA player already, so he's just waiting for them to call a draft. He can't go because he's not old enough or whatever. So, Brandon, I don't know why he's going to school anyway. He should have went to the G League. You know, he should have went that route and got paid that route. So, but I wish him the best, man. That's all I got for my Imani Bates.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.
Guys are idiots.
For listening.
In Three Foolish Men, I put you right in that category.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.